Good morning. It's great to be with you all. Last summer, I was working at a church in Cold Lake, Alberta. And even though I had been there for the entire summer, it wasn't until August that I actually dove headfirst into the lake. I had waded out to my knees before, but I hadn't actually gone all in. And you see, the problem is that Cold Lake is cold. Like, really cold. And I'm a wuss when it comes to the cold. But finally, our tech guy at the church convinced me that I had to get over my fears and insecurities and just go all into the lake. And this fear of going all in is also an issue that many Christians have when it comes to obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians are comfortable with getting their feet wet, but they hold back from going all in their walk with God. Well, today we're going to dive into Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, a famous passage from Scripture that encourages us to go all in our walk with God. This passage comes from the book of Romans, a letter that the Apostle Paul had written to the church in Rome in the first century. And in Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Paul starts this verse by saying, "I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice." Mercy means withholding a punishment that someone deserves. So what punishment is Paul referring to? What merciful act of God is he talking about? In chapter 3 of his letter to the Romans, Paul said, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus." So Paul is saying that we're justified by Christ's grace, meaning that we're made right with God through the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, not because of anything that we do. He shows us that being made right with God is something that we all need, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul's also showing us that sin, a desire to be independent of God and live according to our own ways and standards, is a reality that universally affects us all. This means that all of us, without exception, are separated from God because of the sin in our lives, and we all need Christ in order to be made right with God again. Specifically, Paul says that it's because of Christ's grace that he made the sacrifice on our behalf. Grace means giving a good gift that someone does not deserve. And it's important for us to realize this, because Paul is telling us quite plainly that the gift of Christ's sacrifice on the cross is not a gift that we actually deserve. He's telling us that this ability to draw near to God, this ability to be made right for our sin, is again something that is made possible for us by what Jesus does on the cross, not by anything that we do. He's reminding us that we can't earn salvation for ourselves, that we need Jesus to fix the problem of sin for us. The mercy of God that Paul is talking about is the fact that Jesus went all in. The fact that Jesus didn't just stop at preaching and teaching, but that he followed God all the way, even into his death. You see, Jesus knew that the only way to accomplish his purpose, the only way to defeat sin, the only way for sin to be atoned for or covered, was for something to die. That's why the animal sacrifice system was originally created in the Old Testament. But the problem with animal sacrifices is they can't adequately atone for human sin. Human sin requires a human sacrifice, and specifically a human sacrifice that hasn't been tainted or blemished by sin. And since Jesus is the only one who has ever lived a sinless life, he is the only one who is able to make this sacrifice for us. This is the context in which Paul tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. He's reminding us that Jesus has already taken the penalty and punishment for us. And so the reality of this, the knowledge of what Christ has done for us, should prompt us to honor him in all areas of our lives. It should prompt us to seek to show our gratitude to him. And the way that we do this is by going all in. Something that you see a lot of in our society is what I'll call cultural Christianity. It's where people identify with the Christian faith and maybe even attend church on a regular basis, but the reality of their faith doesn't seem to affect their lives much on a day-to-day basis. I was confronted with this a few years ago at my job at Home Depot back in Edmonton. For the past year, I had been in Bible college and studying to become a pastor, but whenever someone asked me what I did, I simply told them that I was studying theology. Now, this is true. It wasn't a false statement, but the reason why I phrased it this way is because I knew that most people didn't know what theology is. They assumed it was some type of science because it has the word ology in it. And so what I was doing was I was using my phrasing to hide from my faith. I was using my phrasing to hide from questions that might come up because I was insecure in my identity as a child of God. But the problem is that's not the lifestyle that Jesus is calling us into. Jesus is calling us into a life that is completely oriented around him, a life that goes all in, a life that doesn't just offer some of ourselves to Christ, but that invites him into every area of our life. You know, the Great Commission, the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples before ascending into heaven was to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But going into the world and making disciples isn't possible if we hide behind church walls. On the contrary, God actually calls us to live our faith out publicly to the people around us so that the greatness and glory of God can be shown through us, so that our lives can be a virtue, can be a testament to faith and the greatness and glory of God lived out in our lives. I think we often fail to do this because we've internalized the message that faith is supposed to be a private thing. It's just something that's between me and God. It's not something I should publicize to the world around me. It's not even something that I should talk about to the people around me. But Scripture teaches us the opposite. Scripture shows us that we are to be ambassadors or witnesses of Christ, that we are to spread his message into the world around us. And I think one of the biggest issues facing the church today is that too many Christians are comfortable with putting a limit on the extent to which they want to follow God. Many of us forget that when we accept Christ into our lives, we accept him as both Lord and Savior. Many of us are very quick to go to the Savior part of Jesus, the part that forgives us for our sin and that makes a way for us to know the Father. Yet we can't forget about Christ our Lord, Christ who directs and leads our lives, who alone is worthy of our praise and worship. And the reality is that you can't accept Christ as Savior without also accepting him as Lord. The two of them actually go hand in hand. And I know that Romans 10, verse 13 says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Yet, when we look at Romans 12, verse 1, we see that simply calling on the name of the Lord is not the fullness of the relationship with God that God is calling us into. He's calling us into a life that is completely transformed by him, one that's completely oriented around him and not of the things of this world. He's calling us to go all in. I came to realize that by trying to conceal my Christian identity at Home Depot, I was failing to accept the lordship of Christ in my life. I was being motivated by my human desires for comfort and ease, and not by my devotion of God. My fear of man was greater than my fear of God, not the other way around like it's supposed to be. And so I switched. Instead of saying that I was studying theology, I told them that I was in Bible college. And I noticed a difference. I started to get more questions about faith. I started to have conversations about Jesus, sometimes even in the middle of the sales floor with customers running around. But you know what I noticed? I noticed that the questions weren't as scary as I thought they would be. I found that people were actually more open and receptive than I thought. And so I realized that as I went to publicize my faith, as I went all in for Christ, I was actually emboldened to do so by the Spirit of God alive in me and working in me, and also that God was creating opportunities, was opening doors for me to do this, for me to go all in and to be a witness and ambassador of Christ to the people around me. But how can we make this change in our lives? How can we break through some of these fears and insecurities and make the decision to go all in? Well, Paul gives us a clue to this in Romans 12, verse 2. In verse 2, Paul says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul starts this verse by telling the Romans to not conform to the ways of the world around them, to act differently from the world around them. He does this because he knows that the ways of the world are tainted by sin, sin that has been passed down ever since the original sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. In Genesis 3, verse 5, the serpent says to Eve, "When you eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." And this verse is key because it tells us that sin, at its core, is a desire to be independent of God. It's the thinking that we can go our own way and do our own thing, that we don't need God. We can do life without him, and maybe we're even better off without him. But we also see that this is exactly the opposite from how God thinks. In Genesis 3, verse 22, God says, "Man has become like one of us, knowing both good and evil. He cannot be allowed to eat from the tree of life and live forever." This verse tells us that the sinful way of thinking, the thinking that we can be independent of God, is exactly the opposite from how God thinks. God created man in order to be in relationship with man. He didn't create man so that man could go and be independent of him, so that man could reject him and go their own way. God wants us to seek after him. He wants us to go all in and think like he thinks. And Paul also speaks to this in his letter to the Romans. In chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, Paul says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. The mind governed by the flesh is dead, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God." When Paul talks about the flesh, he's talking about our human sinful desires, our human way of thinking that's tainted by sin. And what Paul says here is that the way we think in the flesh is exactly the opposite from how God thinks. He even says that our thinking in the flesh is hostile to God. It's incapable of pleasing God. But when we change the way we think, when we think like God, then we have a mindset that's peace and life. When we think like God and see the world through his eyes, then we take on God's worldview. It makes sense to us why he commands the way he does. It will make sense to us why he wants us to live the way he does. And then it'll make it easier for us to go all in. So how do we do this? How do we change our thinking so that we think like God and not like the flesh? Well, I want to suggest two ways, two methods that we can use to transform our minds to think like God instead of the flesh. Firstly, if we want to think like God, then we have to know about God. And secondly, if we want to think like God, then we have to know God personally. In order to think like God, we have to know about God. And the way to do this is by spending time in God's Word, by spending time in the Bible. The Bible is God's inspired word to us, which means that God wrote the Bible himself using human authors like the Apostle Paul. And because God is directly involved in the writing of the Bible becomes a crucial tool for us to get to know God. It's a revelation of God's character and attributes. It shows us who God is, who we are in relation to him, and how we are to relate to him. And it's for this reason that developing a regular routine of reading the Bible and diving into Scripture on a regular basis is an important part of every believer's life. Now, I know you might be thinking, well, isn't that your job, Jacob? Isn't it the pastor's job to teach the Bible to us? Well, yes, you're right. That is absolutely part of our job. But here's the other reality. We only have one service per week, and there's only so much Scripture we can get through in one service. So far in this sermon, I've only been able to get through 1.5 verses in 20 minutes. So what this means is that if we want to dive deeper into our relationship with God, if we want to transform the way we think so that we think like God, then we have to take personal ownership of this ourselves and spend time in the Word for ourselves. I was confronted with this after beginning in Bible college, when I realized just how much of the Bible I hadn't yet read for myself. I came to realize that there was a lot of content in Scripture that I hadn't read myself, especially in the Old Testament. And I came to realize that this was a problem. That if I was going to be a committed believer who built my life on the foundation of Scripture, then I had to be familiar with all of God's Word, not just some of it. And so beginning in January of 2023, I started on a Bible reading plan to read through the entire Bible in 1 year. And after completing this, I've gained a greater appreciation for how all the different pieces in Scripture fit together. And I've been able to see the overarching narrative or story of the Bible, which is God's plan of redemption for humanity. Now, this might seem like a daunting goal. You might be thinking that you can't read the Bible like that. It's just too big. Well, I'm not saying that you need to read through the entire thing in a year, but I am suggesting that you should develop a habit of engaging with Scripture on a regular basis. And the nice thing is that now, living in the 21st century, it's extremely easy to do this. There are Bible reading apps, like the YouVersion Bible app, that can give you a host of different reading plans in any translation that you like. And in fact, that app will even read the Bible to you so that you can just sit back and listen. Whatever system works for you, I just encourage you to start with something and to continue with it. If you approach Scripture with a heart that is open to receive from God, then I promise you, you will not be disappointed. It will help you to get to know God better, and it will help you in your journey to think like God. The second way for us to think like God is that we need to know God personally by spending time with Him in prayer. Prayer is when we talk to God like we talk to a friend. It's when we intentionally set time aside for Him, not just to speak to Him, but also to receive from Him and allow Him to speak into our lives. Most of the issues that people have with prayer stem from the fact that when people pray, they typically pray at God rather than with God. When we typically think about prayer, we often have this mindset of going into our room and kneeling beside our bed and downloading a laundry list of stuff that we want God to just magically give us all in that one instant. That's talking at God, not talking with God. Talking with God is reciprocal. It doesn't just speak to God, it also waits to hear from Him, even inviting a response from Him. I remember when I first learned to pray and identify God's voice in my life. Something that surprised me was how subtle it is. Oftentimes when we think about the voice of God, we think about these big booming events, like the skies coming apart and a voice just emanating down, or a bush spontaneously bursting into flames. But what I found is that the voice of God is typically in a still, small voice, one that sounds much like my own voice, my own conscience at the back of my mind. Often that is just my own voice, but sometimes it's the voice of God prompting me to do His will. And by spending time in prayer, you can train yourself to discern and differentiate the voice of God from your voice. Over time, you'll start to hear and to notice and recognize what God's voice sounds like. And the more time you spend with God, the more your thinking will actually align with His. Pretty soon you will think like God, and it will help you in your journey to go all in. Paul ends Romans 12, verse 2, by saying that when we develop a relationship with God, then we will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What Paul is saying here is that when we think like God, then we will act like God. When we see the world through God's eyes, then we will be able to go all in. We'll be able to think like God, and this will come out in the way that we act. Oftentimes we get this backwards in church. We think that faith is about behavior modification. We think that the way that we act comes first, that we've changed behaviors first and thinking second. But Paul shows us that it's the other way around. He says that if we want to be a better person, if we want to act like God, then we have to start by thinking like God. And if we don't transform the way we think, if we don't take on God's worldview, then we will never act in a godly way. We'll never go all in. Last winter, I was leading an Alpha course at my church in Edmonton. An Alpha is a course that goes through the foundations and fundamentals of the Christian faith. It describes who God is, who we are as believers, and how we are to interact with Him. And because it's a very foundational course, it typically attracts people who are new to faith or are just investigating faith for the first time. And something that was a consistent issue for all of the people who were investigating faith were the poor examples of Christian living that they had seen in the people they knew who called themselves believers. They had noticed that Christians seem to be just as angry as everyone else, just as agitated, just as selfish. And so they had a hard time seeing the value that faith has because it doesn't seem to make a difference in people's lives. And really, this brings to our attention something that I think is a big problem in the church in North America, which is that most Christians don't actually live out of a biblical worldview. Most Christians don't actually think like God, and the evidence of that is written all over their lives. And so I want to end today by inviting you to reflect on your own life and your relationship with God. Are you living all in for Jesus? Are you renewing your mind so that it's transformed to think like God and not like the flesh? In the way that you go about your life, in the way that you respond to situations and circumstances, are you conforming to the patterns of the world around you, or are you being transformed into the image of God? For some of you, maybe there's a person that God is bringing to your attention right now, someone that he's been calling you toward, but you've been shying away from the conversation. For others of you, maybe it's a sin issue in your life that you know is creating a barrier between you and God, but you haven't yet repented of it. For others, perhaps you haven't made the conscious decision to follow Christ, and the next step looks like saying, "Yes, Lord, I want to go all in." The sinful part of our nature wants to hold us back from going all in for God. It tells us that we should instead want to go our own way, that we don't need God. But this is a lie. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the only one worthy of our praise and worship. He's the only one worth going all in for. So if you consider yourself a follower of Christ, please join me as I close in prayer. Jesus, I just thank you for the opportunity to gather today and glorify you, Lord. I thank you for this space of worship where we can come and just honor you, Lord, and glorify you. And I pray, Lord, that as we think about worship, as we think about being followers of you, that wouldn't just end with our service today, that would follow us into our lives in the other 6 days of the week, Lord. That our lives truly would be marked by a devotion to you and a desire to know you more and to grow in the fullness of your purpose and plan for our lives. And I pray this all in your holy and mighty name. Amen. 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 All right.